Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Great to see you all tonight. This will be the last time because we're bringing the Names of God series to a close, and we're going to talk about calling on the name of the Lord in our next series, as Pastor Justin just mentioned. So our anchor verse for the last time is Psalm 9, verse 10. If you've been coming on Wednesday nights, possibly you sort of know it by memory by now. This is a verse our family memorized a number of years ago. You can hang your whole life on this one. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Do you believe that? When he says his name, it's not just an identifier. His name is his nature. And there's something about who he is, something about his name that is totally trustworthy. And so as a result, we know that those who call on him, those who seek him, will never be disappointed, that he is never one who forsakes us. That those who know your name trust you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And the name Lord there, it's usually translated in our Bible, Lord. It's in the Old Testament, the very personal and very common name for God is Yahweh or Jehovah. And so in English versions, it's L-O-R-D. Sometimes it's all caps, sometimes it's capital L, small O-O-R-D. But whenever you run into that name Lord, you know it's referring to the name Jehovah, which is God, which is that he is all that we need him to be. His name is his nature. Last week we talked about Jehovah Tzidkenu, which is God our righteousness. And tonight I'd like to talk about Jehovah Sabaoth, which is Lord of hosts. Now, if you have a New International Version, it's only going to be translated Lord Almighty, so I'm going to pull out of the English Standard Version tonight, which actually translates it more literally as Lord of Hosts. The first place we run into this name of God is from the lips of, from the first couple of verses of 1 Samuel. Samuel the great prophet, and here his father is referred to in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 3. A little dyslexic there. 1:3. Now this man, Elkanah, who is Samuel's father, used to go up year by year from his city to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts, or Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were the priests of the Lord. So this man, Samuel's father, used to go up, and it's here for the very first time in Scripture that we have this name of God. He is Yahweh of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. This is the God of the hosts. Now, I just want to connect something from last week with you when we talked about Jehovah Tzidkenu. I'm going to put on the screen. This is not a verse. This is just two-word phrases. Last week, we talked about imputed righteousness because we looked at the name of God, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And we talked about righteousness that's imputed to us, that's kind of a legal standing we have before God, so that we now have not our righteousness, not anything we deserve, but we have Jesus' righteousness that's been imputed to us, we would say theologically, imputed to us, so that when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin, our past sin, he sees the perfection of his Son, the righteousness of his Son. This is absolutely mind-blowing. And that's why we don't think emotionally about our lives. We have to think theologically. This is biblically how God looks at us, because Jesus has become our righteousness. He's the Lord our righteousness. And so we're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. So when God looks at us, he only sees righteousness, and he deals with us on that behavior. So he's not just constantly getting even with us. He sees only God's righteousness. That's imputed righteousness, Jehovah Tzidkenu. Today, Lord of hosts, I would call imparted resources, not imputed righteousness, but here we're talking about the imparted resources that God now gives us, and especially if I could reduce his resources to one word, it would be Spirit. It would be the Holy Spirit that he gives us. In other words, his righteousness, he declares us righteous right up front and treats us, if we're in Christ, as if we're righteous, okay? So he doesn't just, he's not always punishing us. But then, after he imputes righteousness, then he imparts his holy resources to us so that then our lives can grow towards how God sees us, and that's righteous in our lifestyles. So if we were to geek out theologically, we would say imputed righteousness, Jehovah Tzidkenu, is justification. We're made just as if I'd never sinned. Justification. And imparted resource would be sanctification. This is God now giving all the resources of heaven to us so that we increasingly in our lifestyles can be righteous in the way God declares us to be. I don't know what kind of vision people have had for your life, but I had a terrible time in second grade. They put me into an accelerated class I wasn't ready for. And I had a teacher who didn't like me. And I used to have arguments with my friend whether he got yelled at more than I did. And I'm just shy kid and self-conscious. And she'd just yell at me all the time. I would actually try to hurt myself so that in the morning so I couldn't go to school. It was a terrifying year. And on the very last day of class, she put me up right in front of the class. And she said, "Now, Jimmy, when you go into third grade, I don't want you to see you like some kind of turtle like you always are." So she just cast a wonderful vision for my life. She knew me as a turtle, and she doomed me in her mind to being a turtle. She said this right in front of the whole class. I don't know what kind of vision people have had for your life. I'm the turtle. But as far as God's vision of your life, if you're in Christ, you're righteous. Right from the start. And then he imparts resources to us so that day after day, like tomorrow, you will take another step towards being more righteous in your lifestyle. He calls you righteous and then he imparts resources to help you get to what he already calls you to be. He's not calling you some kind of loser. He's not kind of, "I know you too well." He says, if you're in Christ, I see righteousness because I see Jesus' righteousness, not your loserness. I see Jesus' righteousness. But I have also imparted to you everything you need for your life to advance towards how I see you. And that's where the Lord of hosts comes in. Jehovah Sabaoth. Because here, the Lord of hosts, what are the hosts? Well, this is an evolving thing throughout the Old Testament, but it'll end up that the hosts are everything we need him to be. No wonder the New International English Version just translates it's Almighty. That's one word instead of three or a two of hosts. The Lord Almighty, because this is the complete capacity for God to finish what he started, heading us towards righteousness, is all we need. The second time we see the Lord of hosts is a few chapters later in 1 Samuel, and this is when David is taking on Goliath. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin." Remember that? Remember he's the giant? You know, this is one of the most famous stories in the Bible. David and Goliath, David taking on the giant. He said, "You come to me with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." What are the hosts? Well, here, comma, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And so this would probably have been the original understanding of the idea of the hosts. The hosts were the armies of Israel, and he is our commander in chief. But then Isaiah takes it farther. He's quoting a prayer that Hezekiah prays in Isaiah 37 and verse 6. And here Isaiah prays, "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, You are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, and you made the heaven and the earth. In other words, here now, he's going broader. It's more than the armies of Israel. The hosts are more than the armies of Israel, where God's the commander-in-chief. That's very helpful to us, but it's even beyond. And we do see throughout other parts of Scripture, like the stars, they're called the starry hosts, and that would be kind of the heavens, plural, and the earth. That would be all of creation. So God, you're Lord of your armies. You can marshal whatever we need for the conflicts we're in spiritually. You're also the God of all creation. You're the Lord of the hosts. And if you ever studied astronomy, that's pretty impressive. It's mind-boggling. It gives me a headache just trying to figure out how large our universe is, just to try to combat. But he is the Lord of the heavens, plural, and the earth. And you made heaven and earth. And then it gets to heaven itself. In Psalm 21, 24, verse 10, it says, who is this King of glory? It's a question. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And in Hebrew poetry, like the Psalms are, you have parallelism. It's very common. So who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. And then back to, he is the King of glory. And so it's two ways of saying the same thing. And so the idea that he's the Lord of the hosts, who are the hosts? It's all of glory itself. In other words, it's all of heaven. In other words, all of heaven, all of the created order, all of that which he commands and marshals together, all of these hosts are under his command. And in fact, the writer of Hebrews says that he, part of his hosts of heaven, are the ministering angels, that God has assigned to us ministering angels to attend to us, to protect us, to guide us. I mean, I usually think about, God, I just need your Holy Spirit, and this is more God's part, but the hosts of heaven are at his command to watch over his own. In other words, you get this whole suddenly cosmic sense of the hosts of heaven are at his command, and they are all together God's resource imparted to us to help us get to God's vision for us. It's all the hosts of heaven. So I want to close with a short story out of the Old Testament. It's King Asa. We find him in 2 Chronicles, beginning in chapter 15. King Asa ends up being a king for 41 years, and he starts out very, very well. And he's turning Jerusalem back from the idols to serve God, and God's blessing comes on him, and gets tested just a few years into his reign, and there's an invading army from northern Africa that comes across, and Asa in prayer characterizes this as, he said, God, I do know that you're the Lord who can champion the cause of the powerless against the powerful. And so this army, like greatly outnumbered, was much more powerful than Asa's army, and there was no human hope for this battle to be won. But they go out depending on God, because God, we know you're the Lord, and Lord of hosts isn't used here, but he's basically appealing to that thing. Lord, we may be powerless, but you control the hosts of heaven. And so they end up winning this incredible victory. And a prophet comes out, because he doesn't want Asa to miss the point. And in verse 15, 2 of chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles, this prophet says, hear me, Asa. This is after this huge battle is won. Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Remember Psalm 9:10, he never forsakes those who seek him. There it is. The Lord is with you. And what an amazing thing. When he says he's with you, when he says Jehovah is with you, he is saying the Lord who commands the hosts of all of the created order and all of the heavenly order and all of anything else that you might need, he is that God who's with you, and he lets himself be found. The Lord of all this amazing resource lets himself be found if we seek him. So almost three decades go by, and because of the blessing of the Lord, he doesn't have any more battles, no more wars. He's just protected sovereignly by God. The problem is, if you don't fight battles, you get soft. And for some reason, his faith over the years, his trust in God, there's no reason given, just starts declining. And 36 years into his reign now, another army, this time from way up north, from north of him, starts invading. And so this time he doesn't pray. What he does is he takes his silver and gold out of the temple, and he buys off the Arameans that are even farther north than this northern army invading him. And he pays them off to attack their backside. So while the invading army is trying to go south against Asa, this army even farther north from present-day Syria is going to come down and take them off, pick them off from the back. And sure enough, the invading army gets totally distracted and the invasion gets called off. And ironically, the strategy worked. Except that Asa didn't call on the Lord this time. And so God sends out another prophet to Asa. Even though God, it's terrible when God lets our fleshly strategies work. But he comes out to Asa, and here's where we're going to end. 2 Chronicles 16:9. He said, Asa, don't you know that the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his? And this is the beauty of the Lord of hosts. He said, my eyes are searching to and fro, looking for somebody that I can throw the resources of heaven behind. But what's amazing about this verse is it's not us seeking him, it's him seeking us. And I just believe in this auditorium tonight, the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro, as they are throughout the earth. The Lord of hosts isn't the Lord of hosts so that he can just be the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is the Lord of hosts so he can throw the hosts of heaven and all the resources that he has behind us, because he's the commander-in-chief of those hosts. And so he's looking throughout this auditorium. He's just saying, would anybody dare trust me? Because I'm just looking for somebody like that. Because I want to throw the hosts of heaven behind them. I'd like you to stand with me.